It is all for your love. Good to have you. Mark in the Morning, Andy Chanley, Gina Grad. Gina, what do you have on tap for the ID?
Oh, how about a little Madonna?
Ooh, nice. Okay, let's go with it.
100.3 The Sound is KSWD-FM and HD1 Los Angeles and Orange County, Southern California's classic rock.
Pretty
well,
good.
Well, you gotta love that.
I love it. And we didn't actually have to meet her.
Oh, God. Well, today on the program, we have for you Andy's Capsule, Gina's Trending, TV reviewer Liz Shannon, Chick on the Street, Katie is getting a massage today, comedian Maz Jobrani, and we're going to get to know Jackie. Get to know Jackie. Plus, we have three.
Well, she's terrified.
She looks like, what? Me? Huh? Huh?
We have three new millionaires. Yoga pants are in jeopardy. She found what in her fish?
Oh, no.
What is the Oscar favorite? We have yesterday news or on this day in history. We can't decide what it is. 50 Shades is here. Stupid criminals. And get this, sports with Gina.
Yeah! She's excited about it.
All will be revealed this morning. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. Okay, so Linda and I go to dinner last night at a place called Alton's. And so the waiter's telling us what the specials are. Uh-huh. And he said, we have an award-winning chili. Our chili has actually won awards, and we don't have it on the menu all the time, but we have it tonight. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, if it won awards, bring me some. And so he brought me just a cup of it. It was really, really spicy. And instead of hamburger meat, it was filet mignon.
Oh.
Guys, it was given to me by God. Angels flew it to my table.
Is that right?
It was so freaking good.
It's because it was fancy. I mean, you got the filet mignon in there, you know, and then you don't have the beans, which I don't really like in my chili. I could go without the beans. I'm not a bean gal. So I like the sound of this. I hope they have it the next time I come out there.
Filet mignon in chili.
Yeah.
Seems like a little bit of a waste. That seems Pearl's
swine.
No.
You speak as an idiot. It is so, so good.
Here's how good it sounds. I haven't eaten red meat since 1993, and I could dive face first into that the way you described it.
Yeah, no, I'm a chili guy, and so I pride myself on the way I enjoy chili. And this was just so good. No, I hear what you're saying, Andy, but in this particular case, it really, really worked.
It really was good.
Now, Chick on the Street is heading out, going to get a massage. And Katie, did I hear word of spa, of jacuzzi?
Yes.
What?
Yes. There's a whirlpool involved. I don't know what it is, but I have my swimsuit on and I'm ready. That's what's underneath this giant dress I'm wearing.
So now, out of curiosity, you have people who go with you on these things for technical reasons, for driving reasons, for security reasons, so forth. These gentlemen that usually accompany you, will they then necessarily be in the room with you while you're getting kneaded?
Indeed.
And how do you feel about that?
I feel fine, but what was funny is when I told Corey that my sound guy was like, so you're going to be in there with me tomorrow. His eyes opened up so wide and he goes, okay. I was like, okay, well, wait, no, I'm going to have a bathing suit on. And then he goes, oh, okay, all right,
Katie,
that's good, we're good.
Would you feel better if Corey was in a bathing suit as well?
Oh, my gosh, that would just be entertainment. But I don't care, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
We're prepared. This little apparatus that Katie uses, it goes by internet connection or a Wi-Fi. Sometimes it'll go, you know, wonky, just like your Wi-Fi will. So we're going to have a landline phone standing by in the event that thing goes out.
If anything happens. Now, one more question. I know I have a preference.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a massage, mm-hmm. do you prefer a masseur or a masseuse?
I've always had a woman, but Danny texted me last night saying, do you care if a man massages you? And I was like, as long as he's not so strong that he's like breaking my body, then it's fine. So today will be my first experience with a masseur, if you will.
Wow.
So a lot of new things happening. Men in the room while I'm getting massaged and a man doing it. There you go.
So there you go, Mark. We're going to have a bunch of men
around me, half naked.
Man,
there is cheating in Little League, and all will be revealed after the Who on the Sound.
Oh,
Southern
good.
California's
it's
classic rock.
Slip disc.
Oh, nice.
Snapchat. As Kevin said. Awesome. I love it. There's that Slipknot.
Go ahead. Make your fun.
Mark calls this, if you missed it. Hey, you know, just out of the blue. We weren't even playing this song. Just out of the blue last week on, was it Wednesday?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what song I like from The Who? I like that Slipknot. I like that Magic Minivan. It's good. It's good stuff.
Let's go to Michael on the phone. Michael, how you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Howdy.
Now, Michael's got a trivia game. Do we all get to play this game, Michael?
Yeah. You guys, like we used to do on the old show, your name will be your buzzer. I got 10 trivia questions. They're basically, each one is either three bands or three songs or three artists, and you tell me what the connection is.
Mm. Okay. All right. Stay right there.
I've got easier and harder ones.
Easier.
Okay. You want me to go easy to hard? Or just
give me the easier ones.
Yeah, give the music encyclopedia the easy ones.
All right, Michael, stay right there. We're going to play the game in just a minute, okay?
All right.
Katie was baseball mad. The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball.
Well, somebody should have told Little League there is a new scandal in sports, and this time it involves Little League Baseball. Jackie Robinson West, the Chicago team that won the 2014 U.S. Championship, is being investigated for using ringers, players from outside the area the team represents. Mm. The team is now accused of combing neighborhood Little Leagues and put together a dream team. The Little League has now officially announced they are stripping Jackie Robinson West of the title and awarded the championship to the team from Las Vegas. Also, the team's coach has been suspended from all Little League activity.
Now, they already went to the White House and were recognized by the president, weren't they?
Right, yes.
And now we find out that they did this. Now, it would be interesting to get our general manager on this one, Peter Burton, because I know his boy played Little League, you know, right up through the ranks, and is on traveling teams, and he's talked before how competitive this really is. I mean, they're recruiting these kids when they're three and four years old.
Out of preschool?
Yeah.
All the Capri Sun you can drink.
Yeah.
The problem with having Peter on the show is that we'll have to talk to him.
That's true.
So
we have to hear his voice. And it just sounds like to me like a metallic grinding.
Right. Right. Well, he's in sales, so he's not to be trusted at the beginning. Right at the top.
That's true.
All right, let's get into it. We're welcoming Michael in. Listener Michael, he's got a trivia game. We'll play it as long as we can stand it. Michael, good morning.
Hi, okay. So you want me to start with the easy ones, is that it?
Please.
Yeah.
Okay. Creedence Clearwater Revival, The Kinks, and Van Halen.
And all three of these have something in common?
Yes.
Andy.
I'm sorry?
Andy. Yeah, siblings in the band.
Yes.
Well done.
I'm just going to take a smoke while you guys play this.
And Gina doesn't even smoke.
And that was the easy one.
I don't even smoke, and that was the easy one.
That was the easy one.
All right, go.
All right. Fire by Arthur Brown. Keep on Smiling by Wet Willie. Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum.
Seriously, are these easy?
Yeah, why are you doing this to us at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Well, because I was hoping that you'd be entertained enough that I might be able to get some.
No. You were hoping that we'd be smarter.
No.
Yeah, you're going to have to give us that one, Michael.
Yeah, I.
Okay. That one's just they're one-hit wonders.
Ah.
Oh.
All right. Well, Spirit in the Sky.
Technicality. Go to the producers.
Norman Greenbaum.
Norman Greenbaum.
Yeah.
He also had canned ham. When you going to buy me a canned ham? I've been waiting so long. Oh, that's true. All right.
Okay, that one I didn't know. All right. This one's right up your alley, Mark.
All right.
The band, the Eagles, and the Monkees.
Oh, Mark.
Mark.
All three suck.
Gina, nouns.
No. Were they, well, they're super groups. They were put up for, together from previous band. Well, the, you know, the band toured with Bob Dylan, the Eagles.
The Monkees is a super group?
Supposedly.
Says who?
They're a manufactured
they're a
band.
Test tube group.
I don't know. What's your answer?
No. They what all it, have singers that are also the drummers.
All right.
Oh, this is
kind of esoteric, but okay.
Oh.
Okay, all right.
You're killing me.
Backdoor Man by the Doors, Love in Vain by the Stones, and Crossroads by Cream.
Songs done by Willie Dixon.
Or, well, that's pretty close. They're all covers of classic blues songs.
Yeah, Robert Johnson.
But it doesn't matter. You don't get credit because you didn't say your name.
Yeah,
come on.
Didn't put it in the form of a question.
I want to win the Burke Williams certificate.
Michael, we're going to cut our losses early. We got something for you from the booty box. Gina, what's he got?
We sure do. We have a pair of tickets to see Mark Knopfler and the band at Dolby Theater on September 19th. Tickets are on sale now, but my dear, you are going for free.
Can I ask you a question about that? Do you by any chance have any of the Seeger tickets left?
Oh, my God.
Wow. This guy.
The man is starving in the desert. He's thirsty in the desert. You give him a bottle of water.
Right.
And you happen to have sparkling water.
Okay, I'm gonna make you a deal, my dear. I will give you my last pair of Bob Seger tickets if when you call in to do this game again, you do something that, you know, Gina might have a shot
at. Something with hormones in it.
No problem. I appreciate it so much.
All right, my dear.
We have three new millionaires. There wasn't one Powerball winner. There were three yesterday, and they're going to split $564 million. The winning tickets were purchased in North Carolina, Texas, Puerto Rico. The winning numbers were 25, 11, 54, 13, 39, and the Powerball number of 19.
North Carolina.
The chances of winning are 175 million to one.
Wow.
But that didn't stop millions from rushing to buy their tickets in the hours leading up to the drawing. Now,
did you buy a ticket?
No. I didn't even know what was going on.
I was just waiting for you to send us a I quit letter this morning. So.
You know, one of the first things that I would do if, in fact, I did win a lottery is get a tax guy and say, okay, I want to get this done. How much do I owe and take care of that?
Right now.
You know
And what do you know about the Cayman Islands?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I want to do is be anonymous. And you can't do that anymore. I think they fixed it in most states where you can't win the prize anonymously. Because that it really does ruin your life. What I would love to do is win that money. What is it, $178 million each or something like that? And then just do things anonymously for people that I care about, people
like
that
Willy
I know.
Wonka.
Yeah, and just have it all come from a foundation. Hey, I heard that your car was,
There's a TV show that I watched religiously on a deep cable a few years ago called something like The Lottery Ruined My Life.
Right.
And it's about people who their kids get kidnapped. You know, there's a bounty on their head. You know, terrible things happen to these people.
Yeah.
Look, the fact of the matter is money in that sum has to be handled. It has to be dealt with.
Well, and it corrupts,
And you go into that kind of money not having any knowledge of what to do with it or how it is.
Right.
It does ruin lives.
Well, here's the other part of it. If I won that money, then everything that I do the rest of my life, people would say, oh, he just did that because he's a rich playboy, not because of the terrific talent that I truly possess.
I'm going to pretend that you didn't say that live on the air.
Yeah.
I just...
What did you guys hear? In my head, I heard
Sweet
Justice.
I am a magnificent tool, and it's going to be apparent when I become a multimillionaire.
You're up there with Kanye, dude.
Exactly.
That's not how I heard it in my head. That's clearly not...
We've got the capsule about 20 minutes away. Gina's going to trend us at 15 minutes after 7 o'clock. All of yous, stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. If you want to talk with us, you have a comment, you have a question, we'll ignore you as long as possible, but at some point, we'll simply have to go to you. Our phone number here is 888-696-1003. Before we get to know Jackie, which you can't call right now because she's in here, let's go to Kareem. He has called. Good morning, Kareem.
Good morning, Mark. First off, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, my first time listening, my first week, you know, I didn't listen to you, Mark and Brian, but I just have to say that you guys get me through the morning. I drive, you know, for a living. That's all I do. You know, I'm on route all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate the music you guys play because there really isn't a lot, you know, a lot of the stations that play the type of music that you guys play. You
well,
know,
there
all
were,
new stuff. Uh-huh.
There were some people that were disgruntled by my hiring because I'm into shenanigans and hijinks and tomfoolery certain days.
But I've grown accustomed to it.
So, I mean, are you okay with the change in the morning show?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Like I said, you know, it keeps me awake, for one, entertained. I'm trying not to drink coffee. You know, got a new baby on the way. So, by the way, Andy, also, you know.
Congratulations.
I know it's late. Thank you, and congrats on your, you know, baby girl.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, I appreciate it very much, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, like, I grew up with, you know, pretty much just listening, you know, to Sabbath, you know, and Scorpions. I really love Scorpions a lot, you know, me and my dad. So I just
Kareem,
appreciate everything you guys put. Yes, sir.
Kareem, when's the due date? When's your baby coming?
March 12th.
And is it your first? Is it your first one?
Yes, boy.
A boy. March 12th, yes, the boy coming up right around St. Patrick's Day. That's awesome. Congratulations. You will never sleep again. and what people will tell you, your friends will say, oh, bank your sleep right now. You know, bank it because you're not going to get – that doesn't work. From March 12th or whenever your baby arrives, you will never sleep again.
Kareem, what do you deliver? You drive around. What do you do?
Well, I have I'm in passenger endorsement, so I take disabled people, you know, to programs and schools, you know, pretty much all over the county. So Signal Hill to all the way to the marina, back to Pasadena.
So he's a nice guy that does the Lord's work. Got it.
Wow.
Check and check. No, we like you.
No.
I think so.
You know, just trying to provide, you know, just trying to do my part.
And humble.
Well, Kareem, you're a good man. You're salt of the earth. We appreciate you listening, and thank you for calling.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Talk to you soon. You know? It is time now for... We're going to get to know Jackie. Now, Jackie is the one that you will talk to when you call into this radio station. We hired Jackie basically because we couldn't find anybody else.
Yeah, it's true.
And so Jackie was brought into the fold. Jackie, good morning.
What's up?
So now, you were born and raised where?
In Los Angeles.
Nice.
Well, I was raised in Downey.
Downey. And how old are you?
I am 25.
You have a boyfriend?
I have a special someone, but I don't have a boyfriend.
Oh, that is so nice of you to say.
Now, I know what it means when I say that. I had a not boyfriend for 7 years. What does it mean to have a special someone, Jackie?
Well, we're not exactly together, so I don't want to put the pressure like, oh, he's my boyfriend.
So you're together with the option of other people? Is that what that means?
Technically, yes, but if he sees anyone else, he will be sorry.
Now, is this person someone famous like Johnny Depp and... You prefer not to say for legal reasons?
Yes.
All right. Now, stop. You have intrigued me.
Yeah.
How long have you been with this special someone?
Well, we're not together, so I don't like to say been with, but seeing each other, I would say about maybe 5 months now.
So is this just sex or something?
No. This is dates and romance and all the fine and wine dining, everything.
I'm getting the feeling that this gentleman is the one saying, you know, we're not really together. Because that's more of a guy thing, right?
See, yeah, no, want this.
I don't think so. I think it's the other way around. I think it's everything but sort of situation. Is that what's going on here?
It's kind of me. Yeah, it's
okay.
Kind of me.
Okay,
it's,
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued. I've never done that. So now, listen, you don't have to answer this, but I mean, with this supposed not boyfriend, is there sex involved?
My dad's listening.
Gotcha.
Absolutely not.
so that means there is.
No. Come on.
All right. So now you. How? I'm sorry. How old did you say you are?
25.
You love this radio station.
Oh, love is an understatement. I mean, they asked me to work midnight to 6 a.m. and I was like, I'll do it. You know, no raise. I don't care. Like, I love it. Yeah. To say the least.
Actually,
and
so, Jackie has a really interesting way she got into the station to begin with. Do you want her to, why don't you tell us about that? That was really cool.
Okay. I'll sum it up. It's a little long. I basically won a Your Turn here. And when I came in, I asked if I could have an internship. And when they said, oh, sure, send us your information, I was like, wait a minute. I don't even know anything about radio. I just love music, right? So I didn't do anything about it. And then within 2 months, I won about, I don't know, 5 contests, which awesome. I don't know if that was within the rules or not, but
no, it's illegal.
So I won 5 contests and somebody contacted me here. He doesn't work here any longer, but he said, how do you keep winning? And I was just like, okay, I'm slightly obsessed. So I asked him, you know, I'm sorry I didn't turn in my stuff, but can I have that internship still? And he said, yeah, of course. So
we'll pay you in prizes.
Yeah, you have to work. Well, now that Sharon, if she's listening, our payroll manager, she's going to take all of this out
of you. Yeah, you're going down.
She got involved in the station through winning a contest, which I thought was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Jackie, what I'm hearing is that because of your obsession with the sound, you're mentally unstable.
Yeah.
Some would say. Yeah, some would say.
Mark would say.
All right, let's do the island thing. You're going to go and live on an island for the rest of your life. You're all alone. You can take one album. What
one
is it?
One album. I would have to say Physical Graffiti.
You're going to be able to take one movie.
She would take a double album, too.
She's no fool.
You give a mouse a cookie.
That's right.
If I had to take one movie, I would pick a Bronx Tale.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah. I love my gangster films.
Okay, so you are going to be able to take one candy bar.
Reese's.
Yeah, girl, up high.
Did you even think about going Snickers? Because I love me some Reese's.
Unless it was the ice cream Snickers, then sure. But
okay.
There's no fridge on the island.
Yeah.
One kind of food.
Enchiladas.
Yeah, girl, up high again.
Green
and time. You will be allowed to accompany one person with you, dead or alive. Who is that one person?
Dead or alive? It's like... I'm sorry, that's just such a hard question because, you know, I love my mom and dad and stuff, but I love you, John Lennon.
Good.
And lastly, Jackie, what do you aspire to do? Let's say you're 80 and you're sitting on the front porch in your rocking chair and you're looking back over your life. And
put yourself in Mark's frame of mind.
And you achieve that one thing that you wanted to become. What is that?
I guess it would be a world-renowned DJ, but not really on air, just like mixes. I'd love to spin vinyl and be known for being an awesome young person who spins vinyl and knows her music.
And for all the guys that are listening, let's say you're signing up on a dating site. Mm-hmm. Tell us all what you want us to know about Jackie.
You know, I think I'm like the only 25-year-old that doesn't do online dating. So, I would just want you to know I'm an oddball. I like old stuff. I'm in a vintage stage of mind, and I accept all walks of life, I would say.
Ooh,
based on what she just said, she must be digging me.
Let's not go that far.
Jackie, you are an absolute sweetheart. I am so glad it worked out for you to do this, and welcome to Mark in the Morning.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, really.
We're 10 minutes away from Andy's capsule. Remain where you are, please. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. I'm going to tell you about a wacky call I got last night in a second. Let's go to Aaron on the phone. Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Mark. How you doing, buddy? I'm so happy that I hear that you're back on the radio station. I couldn't find a radio station whatsoever around that made me more happier to listen to than KLOS when you and Ryan were together. But now since I found out that you're back on the radio station, I'm sticking with 100.3 now. So I listen to you every morning now.
Well, Aaron, that is nice of you. And I see that you live in Norwalk. You know, I had to apologize to your city yesterday.
Why is that?
Why are we doing this? It is a lovely place, the garden spot of Southern California.
Yes, smells like chrysanthemum. Well, Aaron, listen, those are kind words, my brother. We come in here each day with one job, and that's to hopefully entertain somebody, and glad to hear that you are entertained.
Yeah, it was tough for me. I literally cried, you know, listening to you and Mark O'Brien say goodbye to KLOS, you know, and ever since then, it was hard to find a radio station to listen to. But today I was driving to Pomona this morning, and I happened to look up, and I see that your back of your head is on a billboard, and I'm like, oh, shoot, well, let's listen to this guy now. So now I got a radio station I can listen to now.
So, Aaron, you actually listened to the last show and you cried?
Yeah, because when you and Brian left KLOS, you know, I listened to your speech that you guys gave, you know, saying goodbye to all your fans and everything, and I did. I sat there and I pulled my truck over and I listened to the whole speech and yeah, I cried.
That takes a big man.
And Aaron, has your wife adjusted to the fact that you're a big?
Yeah, wow. She knows how I am. I'm a big 6'4", 260-pound, big pussy, yeah.
Aaron, real quickly, what do you do for a living?
I'm a truck driver.
Yeah, you know what? You guys, I don't want to, you know, I like to joke around, but I'm going to get serious for just a second. You guys are the salt of the earth. You guys who do these blue-collar jobs, I'm a blue-collar guy. The way that I work, what I do is blue-collar. You guys mean everything in the world to me. And to have you call up and say these really, really kind things, you move me. And I so appreciate your support, man.
Hey, you know what, though? Like I said, I'm going to be listening to early in the morning every morning now, since I know that you're at least you're back. I'm hoping you guys can bring Brian back also. Then I'll be definitely going to listen to you guys all the time. I can't stand KLOS. It's just not the same anymore without you two there.
Well, I will say this, Aaron. I was with Brian for 27 years, and I felt like that was enough. I wanted to go and move on and do other things and work with other people and getting a chance to work with Gina and Talent and and Daniel. You know, it's just, I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah. It feels like 27 years.
You did this to yourself, Andy.
It really does. I can see how you might want to move on after a while.
Aaron, we've got something in the booty box for you. Gina, what are his choices?
Well, I am going to tell this gentleman that he is going to see a kick-ass show, a pair of tickets to see Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits and the band at Dolby Theater on September 19th. Tickets are on sale now, but you, my dear, are going for free.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome.
Said, you know, Mark, I'm happy that you're back in the radio station, you know, and like I said, you and Brian made me laugh every time that I got on the freeway, you know, and dealt with traffic all day, and I just listened to you guys. I try to win prizes all the time, and you guys amused me, you know, for the 4 hours that you guys were on the radio station, but I'm glad that you're back. You know, and stick with it. You know, like I said, hopefully you guys can bring Brian in there, and you know, it'll be great.
Aaron, thank you so much for listening, and thanks for the call. And it is now time to open up Andy's classic rock time capsule.
Hallelujah!
Thank you.
He did it.
It's time to open Andy's classic rock time capsule.
Thank you, Professor Hawking. It's time to blow the hat. Here comes the classic rock time capsule for Thursday, February 12, 2015. Start off with a quizzy. Mark and Gina and Danny. Here's a question for you.
Hell with Danny.
Whom do you think is the British artist with the most top 40 chart hits? 5 years ago today, the Queen gives them medals. Who are they? I'll give you the answer in a minute, but think of who you think that is.
British artist
with the most UK top 40 hits.
Okay.
Meanwhile, it's Beatles week on the time capsule. Second week of February is just rotten with Beatles history. Today, 1964, Beatles visit the White House along with Prime Minister Sir Alec Douglas Home. President Lyndon Johnson receives him, and LBJ tells Home, "Say, I like your advance guard, but don't you think they need a haircut?" Then the lads all ride the train up to Manhattan to play Carnegie Hall. And here's promoter Sid Bernstein, who booked the Beatles before Ed Sullivan did.
All of a sudden, something happened. The world of music just turned around.
Isn't that the truth right there? And how about this for Nutty? Today in 1977, the Police record their debut single in London, a song called Fall Out.
Cool.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know the song. But get this. Meanwhile, out here at the Whiskey A Go-Go, same day, 77, Blondie, Tom Petty, and the Ramones sharing a stage on this date. Then, 30 years later, to the day, the Police, on 2007 on this date, they announced their reunion tour. Guess where they announce it?
Boise, Idaho.
No. The Whiskey A Go-Go. And
nice.
You know what that is? See what I did there? All right. So, again, the quiz question.
I got it.
Which British artist had the most UK top 40 hits? Mark?
My answer is Cliff Richard.
Okay. Gina?
I'm going with Sir Elton.
Danny?
I'm going to say Robbie Williams.
Oh, boy. The answer is... The Status Quo. That's
what?
Their first chart single in 1968, Pictures of Matchstick Men. They have 63 more after that, including
that's
22
crazy.
UK top 10, selling over 128 million records. And for all of us, that's a medley of their hit right there. But they also opened Live Aid in 1985. And anyway, the Queen gives them OBE medals 5 years ago today. And we'll end on some birthdays. Pat, it will come back to you. Minute by minute. Come on.
You're on the air.
You know you like the McDonald. Everybody likes the McDonald. Michael McDonald, Steely Dan, Doobie Brothers, and solo fame is Shy Sweet Freedom, Shalala. He's 63 years old today.
You're on the air.
Oh, this is going out on the radio?
People can hear that.
Sorry about that. And the late Ray Manzarek would have been 76 years old today.
I love that guy.
If he were still with us. But his music remains, and guess what? We're going to hear some of it right now. You're listening to Mark in the Morning on Southern California's Classic Rock 100.3, The Sound.
Okay, so Chick on the Street's going to be getting a massage today. We'll check in with her. And later, TV reviewer Liz Shannon Miller, I guess, talks about TV. We'll find out about what. But now.
Okay, this is level one of Yoga Meltdown. Now, don't be intimidated. If you're beginning and you're new to this practice, i.e. form of exercise, follow Maddie. She's going to be giving you beginner versions or modifications of classic yoga poses.
Okay, a Republican lawmaker from Montana wants to turn the clock back with a new law that would ban suggestive clothing for both men and women from exposing their nipples.
It's about time.
The proposed new bill, authored by Representative David Moore, would ban, quote, any device, costume, or covering that gives the appearance of or stimulates the genitals, pubic hair, butt, or pubic hair region. Although the proposed law wouldn't make yoga pants or tight bathing suits illegal, when debating the bill, Moore said, quote, yoga pants should be illegal in public. The bill does call for the banning of all nipple exposure by men and women. But at this point, the latest update, the bill has been tabled.
Well, that's a crime, because I'm glad that legislation like this is finally making it
and
to the forefront.
And he walks around constantly turned on and offended.
I'm a never nude. I am a never nude, and I'm so glad that someone's finally standing up for righteousness.
There are dozens of you. Dozens!
I like that. Turned on and offended.
Yeah. The
That's
Andy Chandler
talent.
Story.
Here's Yes on Mark in the Morning and The Sound, Southern California's classic rock. Mark in the Morning, 100.3, The Sound. I'm just here to tell you that Andy Chandler is a good-looking man. A New York woman thought there was something fishy about the meal she was served at a fancy seafood restaurant after she took a bite of her entree and became impaled by a hook that was stuck in the bass
on
her plate.
Come on now. No.
She says she bit down and felt something unusual.
No.
She then felt a jolt of pain and removed the bite of food from her mouth with the hook still in it. Russo is suing the restaurant to pay her medical bills, but she's also asking for damages for the emotional stress of being afraid to eat her favorite dish. Her attorney said, quote, she can't eat fish anymore because of the nightmares she's having about this thing.
But on the bright side, they caught a live one. I'm just trying to make Andy feel better.
Yeah, I don't know that's possible. So what is the Oscar front runner at this point?
Dad.
Hey.
Are you okay?
Why?
You seem sort of...
No, I'm good. I'm good. This is good. You want some?
No.
Mm. Okay.
Do you really think you'll be ready for opening tomorrow?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, well, I mean, previews are pretty much a train wreck. We can't seem to get through a performance without...
The Oscar race just got a little more decisive. Top contenders are still Birdman and Boyhood, but Birdman appears to be flying a little higher than the rest of the flock after this past weekend's Directors Guild Award with Alejandro González Iñárritu, who won for Best Director. Birdman soared a little closer to the gold of Oscar. Birdman is now the clear Oscar favorite.
It's so good. I wanted to ask you, have you had a chance to see Boyhood yet?
I have not. I've got the screener. I have not yet seen it. You?
I saw it in the theater, actually. Are you waiting until it comes out on DVD to...
I have a block. I've talked to people, and they've said it's really, really long and slow.
No. I saw actually both of these movies in the theater, which I know nobody does anymore. And they both have some pacing issues, but they're both beautiful movies.
Yeah, I couldn't take my eyes off it. And I didn't leave the theater and during the movie. And after the movie was done, I didn't look at my watch and say, well, there's time I'll never get back. It's Boyhood. It follows 12 years in a kid's life and a family's life.
Yeah.
And they get that done in under 3 hours. You know, I mean, for that matter, Godfather has pacing issues. It's you've got to go.
How dare you?
And I'm just, I love that movie. It's the greatest movie ever made.
Agreed.
But it takes, over 3 hours to get through it. It's such a good movie. And if that's the reason you're holding out, watch it over two nights.
Yeah, my two favorite movies so far is Birdman and Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. He blew me out of the water.
Absolutely. And wildly under talked about.
Right.
Nobody
didn't get nominated.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never seen him be better, and so you need to pull the trigger on that.
Yeah.
And speaking of pulling the trigger, we're now going to find out exactly what is trending. Here's Gina.
All right, here's what's trending online. Smoking is said to kill about 480,000 people a year, but new research says that number could be a lot higher. A new study suggests that smoking may be responsible for around 100,000 more deaths than originally thought. There's a laundry list of other diseases now that are being linked to smoking, but the two biggest are breast cancer deaths, which are about 30% higher among smokers, and prostate cancer deaths, which are about 40% higher.
So you're telling me that smoking might cause cancer?
Indeed.
This is interesting. I'm going to make
breaking
news.
You know
that people assume it's lung cancer. Turns out it is just riddles the body with problems.
It's mouth cancer and all kinds of them.
And because smoking is an immune suppressant, there's all kinds of things that go haywire. So please be careful. After quelling rumors that Bobby Christina Brown's family was going to take her off life support, they're now saying that the 21-year-old daughter of the late Whitney Houston is getting better and that, quote, God is hearing the family's prayers. She's currently being cared for at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, where a steady stream of loved ones, including grandmother Sissy Houston, have been visiting her over the last week. Now, this is a question for Mark and Andy specifically. Do you enjoy a good book as much as you enjoy a good-looking guy?
Beg your pardon?
Okay. So you need to check out my new favorite Instagram account that is taking the hipster world by storm. It's called Hot Dudes Reading, and that's exactly what it delivers. Candid shots of cute guys with their nose in a book, most of them on the New York subway system. The account has only been up for a week and already has over 75,000 followers. So get online and get on board.
I don't get it.
It's not for you, Mark.
Okay, got it.
And in sports news, the Lakers suffered their 11th straight road loss last night, this time against the Trailblazers. The final score was 102-86 Portland. Portland was also, they won the last two games against the Lakers this season and have taken four straight overall. And by the way, all those wins have come with Kobe Bryant riding the pine on the sidelines due to injuries. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning.
Hold on. Does your dad know that you're trying to horn in on the family business?
Hold on one second. I just have one thing to say. Sports! Gina Grad.
Gina, that was the sports segment was really good.
That was
you
good.
Actually sounded like you knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, do you
about.
Hear Thank the you. Condescension there?
No, no. You know what? I am more surprised than Mark could ever be.
Yeah. Gina, he's condescending. He's condescending. That means talking down
thank
to.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know what? Everybody, I think, knows at this point, sports is not my forte. The apple fell very far from the tree. Whenever I ask my dad a sports question, he answers with the same line, oh, honey, that's why I had a boy and a girl. So I'm trying my best, and thank you for sticking with me.
Coming up, we will check in with Chick on the Street. Katie is getting a massage today for Valentine's. We'll find out how that goes. We do have On This Day in History or Yesterday's News, and I'll fill you in on why that's a confusion. Plus, we're talking TV. We have a critic, and that's in about 30 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. Nice. Mark in the Morning, welcome back. We're going to quickly go to Katie. Katie is down at Burke Williams. She's going to be getting a massage today. Katie, well, first of all, I have to tell you the behind the story. Katie has her little broadcasting apparatus. That failed. Wasn't working. We scrapped it. So then we're told Burke Williams has a landline. That failed. And then nobody seems to have a cell phone. So this professional morning show in Los Angeles is going to go to Katie's cell phone. Danny has already said, quote, I'm going to kill someone today. Katie, how are you? Great. Great. Well, let's check in with Danny. Danny, how you doing, brother?
Many people will die today.
Jackie says she's on. Maybe we should try it one more time. Yeah,
okay, it's wide open.
Katie, how you doing?
I'm good.
Are you on the table right now?
I'm on the table with my face down inside. You're in the hole. You're in the face hole.
Has the massage begun?
He's doing something now, and it's great. Oh, he's pushing down. Oh, down.
You're in the face hole.
All right, Katie, just stay right there. We're going to play a song. We're going to come back and find out how your massage is going, okay?
That's fine by me.
Plus, we have a very funny comedian next hour, Maz Gibrani. Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning on Southern California's Classic Rock. I think I might have mentioned this with ZZ Top was because I was backstage before ZZ Top performed. And they do a thing where the three of them huddle up and they do this thing with their fingers before they go out. Kind of like a, you know, let's bond together and go. Their drummer before the show was the drunkest human I've seen in my entire life.
Frank Beard?
Yeah, and he had to go out and do a show.
Awesome. Wow.
Love rock and roll, baby.
When this hustling, bustling, gritty city sometimes gets you down. Hey, what a treat to meet the chick on the street. You never know what she might say.
I ain't gonna cuss, bitch.
It's Katie, and it's gonna be a great day.
That is correct. Chick on the Street, Katie Thompson, is out. She is at Burke Williams, and she's getting a massage. We go to her now. Katie, what body part is he working on?
My feet.
Now, do you like the feet stuff?
It was a little tickly at first, but I'm good now. I about kicked Henry in the face, but once we got past that, we were good.
Yeah, you do the involuntary mule kick sometimes.
Yeah, but I warned him. I said, hey, if I kick you, it's all right.
Nothing personal. Katie, is there a part of the body when you get a massage? Because we were just talking about it. Everybody's different. Is there a part of the body that makes you wince in pain when it's worked on in a massage?
My butt cheeks, to be honest.
Right.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Can we have them work their way up there during this during this segment so we can hear? Can you ask them to?
Let me tell them.
Right.
Hey, Henry, would you please massage my butt cheeks now?
Your shy daughter,
yeah, that's
Mark.
Fine. That's fine.
All right.
He just said, as long as it's through the sheets, we're good.
Sure. Right. Yeah. No. And, it's all. These are.
There's butt.
I think gluteals.
Tarzan. Is it good or bad? I can't even tell.
Is both.
Uh huh.
The gluteals. They call those.
Hey, Katie.
Yes, Dad.
Tell him that I'm not wearing pants.
Henry, my dad would like for me to tell you that he's not wearing pants. Henry laughs and doesn't care.
Kind of our reaction, really.
Half of it, anyway.
Katie, we'll check back in. Now, guys, if you want to do something special, we're giving away some of these certificates to Burke Williams for their massages. But this, I mean, I'm told that this is like the go-to place where everybody wants to go.
It is incredible. It is the creme de la creme of massage spas.
So think about that for Valentine's Day. Katie, continue to enjoy. We'll check back in momentarily, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Coming up momentarily, this day in history, plus we're talking television. We have a reviewer. It's all coming up on Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. So now Danny is a donkey on the edge today. He said several people are going to die. We'll get to Danny in a minute. Danny, stand by, okay? How you doing so far, Danny?
I'm standing by.
Okay, hang on. Let's go to Barry. He's calling from Victorville. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Mark. And first of all, I want to say congratulations to your new show. It's awesome. I listened to you through my boss on the way home And when you had John Wayne on, that was really great.
It was.
Kind of see another side of him that you don't normally get to hear or, you know. He seems like a very humble person, even though he was very successful in his career.
Well, I can say that with John being a very good friend of mine, John is not afraid to reveal truth in an interview.
Or his boxer shorts.
He proudly displayed those things, didn't he? But yeah, I mean, John is not only a great guy, an unbelievable musician to step up and imagine performing in the hallway of a radio station. But he doesn't care. He just honors the music, and that's all it is.
I just want to thank you because that just brought back some great memories, you know, in the 70s and the 80s. And just keep up the good work, and thank you for what you do.
Nice of you, Barry. Thank you for listening to the program.
Bye-bye.
All right. So now I'm about to go into basically events from the past. And so for a while, I was calling it On This Day in History.
Right.
And then Andy suggested Yesterday's News. And so then Danny made the comment, fine, then I'm just going to erase all of the work I've already done on this day in history. So I don't know where it's going to go at this point, but Danny did put an intro together for On This Day in History. What? Danny, can you tell us how much work you put into this intro?
It was a couple hours maybe, but you know, I don't have the studio time, so I just had to...
make it work.
Make it work, exactly.
Why don't you have the studio time, Danny?
My phone is ringing. Huh? I was wondering, where I'm hearing Magnum P.I.
All right, here we go. Here we go. It's time for Danny's intro for On This Day in History.
History. That happened, and we all let it happen.
Not bad, right?
Not bad.
That's great.
It's got some sizzle. I like that.
Yeah,
good
we'll
job, Danny.
That. It was on this day. Abraham Lincoln was born the 16th president of the United States.
6'4", he laid on the floor reading books. That was old Abe.
Oh, how he hated the shave.
Now, I will say that he is the one room log cabin still exists in Illinois where he was born. I want to see that before I die.
Oh,
I've not been. I've not done it.
That'll be one of your pilgrimages.
And he lived a short time in my home state as well, of Indiana. Lived there for a while, and also, I believe, in Kentucky. He moved around the tri-state area.
Wait, so, Mark, this is where you and I go our separate ways. You would rather see Abe Lincoln's home cabin before you'd like to see Dollywood.
I've been to Dollywood. In fact, I still feel like I'm there in many ways. Yeah, I found it to be completely boring.
How dare you?
I've been to Dollywood as well.
Stop. Oh, I had to touch both of you, and I never thought I would say that. I have a gift certificate to Dollywood, and I will make it there someday.
It's good to have a dream.
I dream big.
On this day in history, Jimi Hendrix returns to his home in Seattle, Washington. While there, he performs at Garfield High School, the exact same school from which he dropped out, and he receives a key to the city on this day back in 1968.
You know what's interesting is I heard, and this may be apocryphal, but I heard that one of the reasons he might have been expelled, and one of the reasons was for holding hands with a white girl.
Oh, I
heard
that,
and it caused a bit of
kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle is the word that I was searching.
I know.
Oh my
like you
God!
Can complete my
sandwiches.
Yes.
Wait, let's go back, because in that one segment, you both used a word I've never heard.
What
was the one you said, acryphal? What was that word, Andy?
Apocryphal.
Okay, and then Gina, you just said what?
Kerfuffle.
Crazy. It's a kerfuffle apocryphal.
Yeah.
Listen, I cannot hang in here with you guys doing that. It was on this day back in 1940, Mutual Radio presents the very first broadcast of the radio play, The Adventures of Superman.
Nice.
You let them handcuff you?
Wouldn't be much of a surrender if I resisted.
What's the S stand for?
It's not an S. On my world, it means hope.
Ah,
nice. So good, I got chills.
Do you know, trivia question,
yep.
Do you know what famous historical figure the story of Superman was based on?
I do not.
Moses.
Huh.
I'll be damned.
You know, Moses put in a basket, sent down the Nile River. Superman, Jor-El, put in a little spaceship and sent off. And, yeah, it's supposed to be somehow indicative of Moses.
It makes sense. The only thing I knew is that Jesus really enjoyed wearing tights.
Oh, yeah.
So now that you've put that together for me, I kind of understand
makes
the whole
thing. Makes sense
deal.
To you, right?
Yeah. Now it does.
Yeah!
Andy was kind enough to share with us that Michael McDonald is 63 in his capsule. And, you know, you tend to forget how much history is behind this guy with Steely Dan and then his work in the Doobie Brothers. I will say that live, he's not the most personable fella.
Really?
He wears headphones and he doesn't look at the audience at all.
Huh. He's like Sia at the Grammys.
Now, I've had him on previous programs. Nicest guy in the world. I ran into him in the Nashville airport boarding an L.A. flight. And we sat down over a cup of coffee, and his kids were with him, and we just chatted. Just the greatest guy. You would not, if you didn't know who he was, you wouldn't know that he is a mega superstar.
Wow.
Arsenio Hall is 60 years of age today. Happy birthday to Josh Brolin. Josh turns 47 today, the son of actor James Brolin. He got his big break in 1985 as Brandon Walsh in The Goonies.
Oh,
most of his success came in recent years with roles like No Country for Old Men.
I'm guessing this isn't the future you had pictured for yourself when you first clapped eyes on that money. Don't worry, I'm not the man who's after you.
I know that. I've seen him.
You've seen him. Man, you're not dead.
A little later, I'll give you an Abraham Lincoln quiz. And just in the event to try to get Andy to stop singing, we're going to play some Bowie. Here it is. This is David Bowie on Mark in the Morning in the Sound, Southern California's classic rock. Mark in the Morning, 100.3, The Sound. We'd like to welcome in Liz Shannon Miller. She is basically an aficionado of television. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
So now, You know, we were talking yesterday. One of the reasons that it seems we're enjoying just a fantastic time in television is that because of the fact that we're not making a lot of great movies in this country, a lot of these writers, directors, and even actors have jumped over into television. Prime example with HBO's True Detective.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and you're going to continue to see that going forward as well.
I have heard so much about Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad, and a lot. I don't seem to have a ton of time to watch some of these shows. What are some of the best shows, in your opinion, currently running?
Currently running? Well, you brought up Breaking Bad, and that show's getting itself a prequel in the form of Better Call Saul, which just premiered on AMC. And that show tracks the earlier adventures of the character who eventually becomes Saul Goodman on Breaking Bad. And it's the same creative team for the most part, some of the same actors, and yet it's finding a way to be really its own thing in this market, which is really exciting.
Now, what are some of the most anticipated shows of this year, the ones that people are really chomping at the bit to get to?
Well, I personally, it's way off still. It's going to be this summer, but I'm really interested in this upcoming NBC series Aquarius, which stars David Duchovny from The X-Files and Californication as a detective working in the 1960s who's trying to track down. He's working in this one case, and what he doesn't know is that this case is bringing him closer and closer to Charles Manson, just as Charles Manson was starting his cult.
Wow.
Now, I mean, you yourself, how does one become a television critic? Where do you sign up for that?
You just watch a lot of television, and you write a lot about television, and you do so until people start paying you for it, I guess.
Now, my wife's best friend is a nut for House of Cards with Kevin Spacey. I've not seen it, but, I mean, is it that? What makes it so good?
Well, I think what's interesting about House of Cards is that people think of it as just like an average kind of drama, but it's almost it's slightly heightened from that. It's more like a Shakespearean epic, and you've got Kevin Spacey clearly having way too much fun hamming it up as this Machiavellian political leader, and so the show goes to some extremes, and sometimes those extremes are successful, and sometimes they aren't, but they're extraordinarily entertaining.
Well, you know, I do enjoy Kevin Spacey, and I've always enjoyed his work. I've just got to try to find the time. And one more thing, and I'll let you go because I know you're backed up, but the way that we watch television has completely changed these days in that we don't sit in front of the box anymore. We're consuming television on iPads and phones. We're binge watching. How does that play into what television is going to delve into in the future?
Well, I think the biggest thing that all of these options bring us is diversity, and it means that you don't necessarily watch the same shows that everyone else is watching, but you do get a chance to watch the things that you really love. And so television these days isn't just about what the great shows are, but what your favorite shows are, and you have so many more options than you ever used to for what makes a great television show.
And exactly when is reality TV going to explode and go away forever, please?
Anytime soon, because it's not that expensive to make and a lot of people respond to it. But there's good storytelling, actually. I mean, I feel like a lot of times reality TV is the same thing. It's about characters who want something. And if that's told compellingly, it can be just as entertaining as a good drama.
Liz is a Los Angeles-based TV editor at IndieWire. She also has a podcast. What's the name of your podcast?
Oh, I have a number of podcasts. There's a podcast called Liz Tells Frank where I tell my friend Frank about stuff. You can find information about that at LizTellsFrank.com. And you can find me on Twitter at LizWhat.
Well, Liz, Shannon Miller, thoroughly enjoyed talking to you, and here's to television.
All right, here it is.
See you soon, Liz. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Let's head back to Katie. Let's see what is up. Katie is getting a massage at Burke Williams. Katie, what's happening now?
We're on my favorite part, which is my head.
So he's massaging your head?
He's rubbing it all over with his man claws.
Is your face still down in the face hole?
We're still in the hole, people. Still in the hole.
Now, when is the jacuzzi going to take place? I want to be sure to get some of that.
You want me to go to the jacuzzi?
No, not right now. I mean, I want you to finish your massage. Is it great?
It's so great. Everybody and anybody should come here. This is ridiculous. I walked into a room earlier. It's a room full of mirrors. It's just a room full of mirrors and got everything you need. Got some combs, got some brushes, got some blow dryers, got some straighteners. I mean, they've got everything here.
According to Katie's description, the tagline should be Burke Williams, where you feel like you're on peyote.
There's
mirrors. I feel great.
I just need... Well, I'm going to need, you know, Dad, your credit card, because I'm going to buy everything in here. And I'm going to need to live here. So if we could just, you know, get my lease worked out to where we can maybe pull up some papers. So,
what is your masseuse's name?
Henry.
Okay. Tell him, Henry, I think I might have just peed a little.
Henry, I think I might have just peed a little. He says that that's natural and it's okay. So just relax.
What makes me think that there are a wide array of things to which Henry has been trained to say
it's
that's natural and that is okay?
All right, Katie, we will check back in. I want to hear how much longer do you... Your massage is almost over, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so whenever you go to the jacuzzi, be sure to take your phone.
Okay, I will. And then do you want me to text you or just let you know?
No, we'll figure it out. Just keep the phone on. I just think it's hysterical that here we are, a Los Angeles major radio station, and Katie is having to use her own cell phone to broadcast from this thing.
And she won't be reimbursed. Will not.
All right, Katie, we'll check back in momentarily, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, see ya.
She checked out.
Mm-hmm. God love her. All right. I'm going to do this quiz now. This is the Abraham Lincoln quiz. There's only three questions. Here we go.
All right.
Abraham Lincoln was the only president to have a license to work in what job? He was the only president that had this. Now, I have multiple choice. If I have to give them to you, I will.
I'll take a guess.
Go ahead.
Well, we're all really big on this log cabin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not construction or something to do with the lumber industry?
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Was he a haberdasher?
That is incorrect.
Cobbler,
your choices are veterinarian, chiropractor, bartender.
Oh, chiropractor.
No, I'm going to say a veterinarian.
Bartender.
What?
What? No way.
Second question. Abraham Lincoln was the first president to bring one of these into the White House. What is it?
Let me think about this. A pet.
Is crazy wife too mean?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, she was kind of bad.
Yes, that is too mean.
Otherwise, I go with a dog.
Okay, no, I'm going to need you to be more specific, Andy.
A ferret.
I'll give you a hint.
Oh.
Wolverine.
Yeah. Goldfish.
And finally, which state joined the United States under Abraham Lincoln? Which U.S. state became a state under Abraham Lincoln?
That was 1860s. Do you know?
I'd like to phone a friend.
I'm going to say, you know what?
I'll give you a hint.
I'm going to say Kansas.
Oh,
wow.
My goal is to bring Elvis into this program in some way every single day. Sneaky as it is, I have achieved my goal today. Now, you guys remember Sage, the 11-year-old. She has called back yet again today. I didn't scare her off. And so we're going to get to her momentarily. Plus, we speak with Maz Jobrani, a very, very funny man, coming up in about 30 minutes. Stay with us. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. Nice. Mark in the Morning. Mark Thompson, Andy Chanley, Gina Grad, Daniel Mizrahi. Jackie's off in there. Let's go to Sage. You guys remember Sage, the cute 11-year-old girl who I called a boy.
Right.
She has called back. She's calling from Carlsbad. Good morning, Sage.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Really good. How are you?
I'm good. I have not given up on calling you guys again.
Yay!
So I am sticking with you guys.
Woo-hoo! Nice. Well, thank you for that, Sage.
Wait, did she say she's sticking with us or sickened with us?
Sticking. I am
sticking. You're sticking. Okay, good.
So what's up, Sage? How can we help you?
Oh, I just want to say happy Valentine's Day, and tomorrow's my dad's birthday.
Oh, now you really like your dad, don't you?
Yes, my dad is. If he had to pick anybody out of my family to be my closest friend, it would have to be my dad.
And how old is your dad going to be?
I'm sorry, I have to say, but 43.
Boy, I remember when I was 43. Well, listen, from Mark in the Morning, please tell your dad happy birthday.
My dad is listening.
Happy birthday, Sage's dad.
Now, Sage, I know that you don't have a boyfriend. And what grade are you in?
I'm in sixth.
Okay. So now you don't have a boyfriend, but there's got to be that one guy at school that's really cute and you think about him some. What's his name?
His name's Eli. It's kind of weird because, you know, some days he'll be jerky and some days he'll be nice.
Girl, I get it.
So
get used to that.
Yeah. But, you know, not right now. Today, well, for the past few days he's been nice, but...
Sage, help me because I don't remember. I mean, in the sixth grade, do some of your other friends have boyfriends and girlfriends?
Yeah. There's this kid that's visiting our school that already has a girlfriend.
Whoa.
And then my other friend from school, Megan, she had a boyfriend, and it's just complicated.
Sage, how long do those relationships usually last? About a week, 2 weeks?
No, my friend Megan had one during the summer, but I don't know how long that lasted.
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, but here's what I say. I say, Sage, that you approach Eli today and you simply say, Eli, I would like for you to be my Valentine.
I don't think I could say that. I'm sorry, but I don't think I'd have the gut to do that.
She knows herself. I like her.
He would probably flirt it out to all his guy friends.
He would. Yeah. He absolutely would.
Yeah, he would. You know, Sage, on the other side of the coin, I had my first girlfriend when I was 29 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't go out on a proper date until I was 26.
I have questions. If you're telling the truth, I have questions to ask you when Sage is not on the phone.
So many.
Sage, listen, a happy Valentine's Day to you.
I
want you to go have a great, great day today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. But you know how you wanted to say how, last time I talked to you, you wanted to know if I got accepted to that soccer team?
Right.
Yes.
I'm waiting for a phone call, but I will let you know when I do.
You know who Sage is, Mark? She's our kid correspondent.
I guess so. We're not going to find a better, more well-spoken 11-year-old anywhere.
She's
so,
amazing.
Sage, you're our official Mark in the Morning kid.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome, Sage. Have a good day at school.
See you, Sage.
All right. Bye, Sage.
You know, have a great day on the radio.
All right, thank you.
All right,
let's head back to Katie. Katie is getting her massage. Katie, is the massage over with now?
Dad, I am whirling around in the silent whirlpool. There's quite an echo in here, too. Echo! Echo! There are signs everywhere that tells me I should be being silent, but that's not what I'm doing.
So now, are you the only one in there?
It's just me and Henry here in the jacuzzi. No, not really. Henry's not in the jacuzzi. It's just me.
Mark will be right there.
Where's Corey?
Corey's standing right here. I got everybody. Everybody's here.
You know, this is a really Elvis thing that you're doing right now.
Which you had them
open up Burke Williams off hours just so you could get a massage and you could get in the community whirlpool all by yourself. Yeah.
This is true.
That is the king incarnate. Well
Andy,
done.
This is what the job calls for. If this is what I've got to do, it's what I've got to do.
Thanks for taking one for the team. That's great.
Yeah, I say one for the team. God.
Every time she gets kicked out of a public place, she deserves a massage.
Yeah, well, from Burke Williams only, though. I will only accept massages from Burke Williams.
Well, Katie, listen, after you're done, come on back to the station, sit down with us, have some fun.
I shall.
Ladies and gentlemen, Katie Thompson, Katie Chick on the Street.
Well done.
This is...
Johnson, chick on the street, checking out.
It's different every time.
Which I like. I don't want it to get stale.
Sure.
Let's keep it fresh up in there. Okay, now, at some point this hour, I'm going to teach you how to sing to your Valentine if you choose to do so. There's six steps. Also, the very funny Maz Jobrani is coming up. All of that is yours here from Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Gina is going to share trending with us momentarily, but right now we've got the very funny Maz Jobrani joining. Maz, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Really good, man. Now, he's got some stand-up we're going to talk about, but I just want to quickly tell this story, and you may know him. So last night I'm sitting outside. I got a cigar going. I got some wine going. My cell phone rings, and I answer it, and it's Andrew Dice Clay. And he was scheduled for the show this week, but he had to cancel because of some personal issues. But he specifically was reaching out to me to explain why he had canceled. And he said, because I know that there was a rift between us, and I didn't want you to think that I was bailing. And I said, Andrew, I have no idea what you're talking about. There is no rift between us. And he there's a pause, and he goes, well, then we don't need to talk about it then, do we?
That's hilarious.
Do you know Dice?
Yes, I do know Dice.
That guy, you know, here's a guy who came into stand-up, and he exploded on the scene. He was white hot. And then it got a little chilly in his career, and he has come back like that Blue Jasmine. His
phenomenal.
Role in that,
really good. Yeah, really
and
good.
I told him that. And I mean, and but the one thing that I will say is that having been humbled by huge career, you know, cooled off, and now that he's back, he's so appreciative.
Yeah, it's almost like he's more real as a person, you know, because what it is I know Dice from the Comedy Store.
Right.
And it was funny because when you first meet Dice, he's intimidating. You know, he's kind of a big guy, and the character is, you know, hey, what do you want? Get out of it, you know. And you're this new comic, and you're kind of walking by, like, oh, I'm going to stay away from that guy. He's gonna roast me. But what was funny was at some point Dice took a liking to me, and we started hitting it off. And so this side that everyone was starting to see, I saw a lot earlier because that's the person that you talk to off stage. And he was always kind of, he actually started doing a little while back, like when you're talking about the cooler period, when he was trying to come up with some stuff. He came up with a reality show that came out for a little bit. It was like about him trying to make a comeback. And actually, I thought, you know, it would have been good. And he did a thing where he was going around the Comedy Store and he was filming different comics, and he labeled me as the foreign comic. So his whole thing with me was that he knew I was up to something that was no good. So like in this little show, whenever he'd see me, he'd be like, how you doing? What do you got going on? And I'd be like, nothing. He's like, who you talking to on the phone? I was like, that's my mother. He's like, oh, sure, you got a mother. You know, that was the thing.
Comedy sleeper cell. Yeah.
Comedy sleeper cell, man.
Now, Maz, I have to know, who pissed you off in that for a living, you get up on a stage and stand there and you're almost asking to die?
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy is the one of the most cruel things in the world.
You know what it is? It's not just something that pissed me off. This is what happened. I came to America. I was born in Iran. I came to America at the age of 6. And right around then was when the whole, you know, the revolution happened, and also the hostage crisis, right? Mm. So I remember, it's funny, I think it's that whole thing of wanting to be liked. You know, especially you coming from another country. I didn't just change schools. I changed countries.
Wow.
All right? So I go to
Did you speak English?
I spoke some English because I was learning English in Iran. Uh-huh. But when I got here, you know, things were foreign to me, you know, I mean, and also, again, like then you look at the news, and I wasn't watching the news, but, you know, we see that there's something going on, and you're not going to be accepted. And as a matter of fact, it's kind of funny because I remember, first of all, I was good with sports. Sports helped a lot. You know, when you show up and you know, I'm coming from Iran where we play soccer. So suddenly they're like, oh, who's this kid in kickball? This guy can kick.
Right.
So that was good. You know, I had, remember Ali Haji Sheikh? Remember that guy? He was a field goal kicker. I was the Ali Haji Sheikh
nice.
Of fourth grade.
Kickball is so important to an elementary school kid.
Oh, dude.
Bloodthirsty sport.
Kickball, you got to blend in. So I would play kickball. I loved being funny because being funny is, you know, you're
you pleasing endear people. Yourself to people.
And the other thing I would do, this was funny, my mother would go grocery shopping. I'd go with her and I would pick every treat. I had a sweet tooth. So there was like one basket of the family's groceries and one basket of just Twinkies and Ho-Hos and Milky Way. And I would take some of this stuff to the school hand it out.
Yeah.
So I realized I learned early on how to bribe people.
Awesome. Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
And that works for the rest of your life, that talent right there.
Yeah, rest of my life.
All right. Now, Maj, you stay right where you are. I specifically want to ask you a question about a documentary that Kevin Pollak has just made.
Okay.
It was in Sundance. I want to find out your feelings on the question that was the backbone of that movie. So stay where you are. But right now, we got to find out what's trending. Here's Gina.
All right. Well, CNN just reported that the Democrats will host the 2016 Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Leading up to the decision, Philadelphia was one of three cities, including New York and Columbus, Ohio, vying for the opportunity. The DNC will take place July 25th, 2016, just 1 week after the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. 50 Shades of Grey hasn't even opened yet, and already the director has signed on to do the sequel. The BDSM-heavy chick flick opens nationwide the day before Valentine's Day, and if you think it's going to be a totally humorless romp of sadness and whips and chains, the director, Sam Taylor Johnson, begs to differ. She says the actors are, quote, so funny, and even influence the way the script was written. I'll be seeing that movie on Valentine's Day. I will give you the full report on Monday. Malcolm Butler has a truck. NFL.com reports that the reserve cornerback went from relative anonymity to New England folk hero when he stole the latest Super Bowl win for the Patriots with a last-minute goal line interception. Tom Brady was named MVP of the game but opted to gift the new truck that comes with that honor to Butler, an undrafted rookie making the league minimum. So yeah,
that guy's never going to buy a drink in Boston again.
Exactly. And finally, drum roll, please. In sports news, the Clippers beat the Houston Rockets at the Staples Center last night. J.J. Redick and Jamal Crawford each had 20 points for the winners, while point guard Chris Paul posted 12 points and 12 assists. The final score was 110-95. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning.
When we come back, we've got Maz. If you have questions or comments for Maz, our phone number is 888-696-1003. Our conversation will continue. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. We're sitting around with Maz Jobrani. And before we get to a call, I wanted to talk, Maz, about this film that my buddy Kevin Pollak made. They just debuted it at Sundance. And the basic question of the movie, he interviews tons of comics, and the spine of the movie, the reason that he made it was to ask the question, does misery love comedy? In other words, do comedians move into the world of comedy because they're miserable or depressed? And before we get to your answer, comedians would sit around and tell stories, war stories. This is Jason Alexander.
The award before me is won by Raul Julia, a brilliant, wonderful actor who had died that year. And the widow Julia comes up to take the award and accept it. And it was an amazing speech. But, I mean, people are weeping. And I'm backstage and I go, for sake, I keep having to do this following dead people. Well, the crew backstage is, oh, that's so funny. You got to say that. You got to say that. I went, now, having no experience with this, I go, really? Should I do it? This is like the band that said, hey, that's a great joke. You should tell it on stage. So on live television, I decide to go off script. And I come out and I go, the hell is it? On the Emmy Awards, I followed dead Jessica Tandy, and now I follow another dead guy. I mean, the boos and the hisses and the hostility. And I have never produced sweat like that in my life. It was like Albert Brooks in Broadcast News.
So the movie is really great. Kevin did such an incredible job at bringing funny, but also answering the question from each perspective. You know, and then we had to deal with the fact that Robin Williams took his own life, and it was shocking for all of us to think that one of our greatest comics of all time was so depressed that. So my question to you is, does misery love comedy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a pretty happy guy, and I look at it as like this. I look at it as all I got to do. I don't know how this happened. Somewhere in my life, I learned to put things in perspective. So all I got to do is open up, my webpage or my inner. I mean, I should say like the CNN.com or something, and look at what's going on in the world, and then I go, wow, I get to do what I love doing. As a matter of fact, last night as I was leaving the house at almost 11 p.m. to go do a 15-minute set at the Laugh Factory, my wife was like, man, I can't believe you got to go. I'm so sorry you have to go. And I go, no. I go, you know what? The thing is, I get to do what I love doing. I go, if I were going into an office right now to do someone's taxes, I'd be like, oh, my God, give me the drugs I need. This is horrible. But I was going to do what I love doing. And I got on stage, and it was like there was like 10 people there. And I just made fun of the situation. I was really tired, but I had fun with it. Now, that said, so I feel like I'm lucky to do what I do, and I love what I do. But there are definitely, I mean, absolutely. I've seen comedians that have, I mean, we're all trying to fill some void, right? We want to be liked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So a lot of times I can analyze it to be like, oh, you had a horrible relationship with your dad. Mm-hmm. That goes a lot. I've seen it. I've seen comedians just kill on stage. There was one guy who wasn't laughing, and the comic comes off stage and goes, you see that guy? That one guy didn't, and I go, dude, what is wrong with you? And they can't let it go because that guy was their dad.
Oh, wow. You see?
It goes deep.
It goes deep. It's really deep. And so we have that. And
it's like Jason Lee in Almost Famous. I look for the one guy who's not getting off, and I get him off.
Exactly. It's so true. And it's so, I think there is, and it's funny, like Jason Alexander was talking about that situation. I mean, we also, the other problem is we put ourselves in places where these things can happen. We put ourselves in situations because you're in front of a bunch of people. And, you know, if you're playing a song, if you're a musician, you play that song. I don't think musicians really mess around with the lyrics too much. And if people aren't even paying attention, you can just play through it. But as comedians, we're trained to call the spit, like, be like, why is it so quiet in here? Like, he was just talking about that situation. I had a situation where, for whatever reason, I ended up performing in front of one of the kings of Malaysia. And the prime minister was coming to the event, and I'm sitting there, and it was like 700 people in a ballroom spread out wide. Nobody's paying attention. So I go, you know what I'm going to do when I get on stage? Because before me, there was like these Malaysian performers that were famous. Nobody was listening to them. Oh. So I go, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what comedians do. I'm going to be like, who hears? You know, are there any Indians here tonight? Are there any Arabs? Or where's the Malaysians? Where's the whatever expats? I was going to get the crowd going. Well, I started getting it going. And finally, just like 10, 15 minutes in, like Jason Alexander was saying, I'm sweating. It's just really not working. But I'm like, I got to get a couple of jokes in. Slowly, I start talking about their traffic, and they have horrible traffic. So they kind of start paying attention. Mm. As I'm doing that, suddenly I hear someone go, Maz, please stop. And I go, uh-oh. Please stop. I go, what? And he goes, the prime minister has arrived. So I had to stop my set in the middle.
Oh.
And everyone stood up. And I'm just standing on stage with a microphone in my hand. And I'm like, okay, this isn't awkward. And they just stand, and it's like, you know, da 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 da. That's that moment.
Right.
And he just walks in, and everyone claps and shakes his hand. It takes like 5 minutes for him to get in. He comes right to the front where I am. And I'm like looking around like here I am going like can I finish? I got 5 minutes. When do I? And finally I go, Mr. Prime Minister, welcome. I go, why are you late? Were you stuck in traffic?
Please tell me they laughed.
Yeah, that got a little bit of laugh. And then I just died for the next 3 minutes, and that was it.
All right, well, Maz Jobrani is in here. We've got several calls that we're going to come back and take. And I also want to talk about, because I've got several friends that are stand-up, I want to talk about something that the temptation of doing it is absolutely too great, and you always do it, but when you say yes to it, you know you're going to die 1,000 deaths, and it doesn't matter. I'll fully explain momentarily. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. Well, Maz, I promise we're going to get to talk about some of the stuff that you came here to talk about. But I have a question, and I have to tell a story before I get to the question. And the story is this. When I was with Brian, we were, this is in the early 90s, we were at the peak of our career. And we had won the Marconi Award, which is from the National Association of Broadcasters, the year before. And the Marconi people came back and they asked us to host that year's show. So we said, sure. And so we go, and we had prepared a lot of, I'm not a stand-up, but we had prepared some radio kind of comedy as the host for the thing. And we go in, and you're primarily talking about an audience of general managers and their stuffy wives. So we go, and we jump into our shtick, and we're doing it. And I'm not kidding you when I say we went for 2 hours hosting this show, and we didn't get one single laugh. Not one. And I was devastated. And after the show, Jay Thomas, who used to do mornings on Power, he was there, and he comes over, and he said to me, listen, man, it happens. You know, it's not your fault. Did you see the audience? Listen, don't worry about it. It's fine. After we get back to L.A., you should come up to my mansion, and we'll talk about it, which made me laugh. Now, the reason I say that is because I've got some stand-up buddies who are hired by these major corporations who are having their year-end party or whatever, and they hire these comedians, and they pay them five times what they normally pay.
Yeah.
Because the reason is, it is the worst gig in the world. They don't laugh. They're not even listening to you. They're talking to each other, and they're drinking. But you can't say no because the money is so big. Have you had that experience?
Oh, my God. All the time. You kidding me? We were just talking about them. You know, it's exactly what you said. What happens is, ultimately, I was just saying, usually what happens is somebody from that company comes and sees you at the club or at a theater where it is conducive to stand up.
Right.
And your fans are at this club or whatever. It's a comedy fans are there, and they're listening. And
you're
killing
it.
You're killing it. And the guy comes up after him and goes, man, I got this tech company, and they would love you. And you go, great. And then you go. And
you fall for it every time.
Fall for it every time. Well, you know, they pay well, like you were saying. And what happens ultimately is you go and you realize, they don't know who I am. They're in round tables with their backs to me. You know, the worst is when they put a dance floor between you and them. They may as well be in another room.
A chasm.
Oh my God! I'll tell you, I've had so many of these situations. I did a bar mitzvah. Is that bar mitzvah?
That's a word. Yeah.
Right. I did a. Which one's for the girl? The girl's bat mitzvah.
Bat mitzvah.
Yeah. So it was guys. Bar mitzvah. This guy out of New York, he convinced me. He's like, my kids are fans of yours. They're going to love you. Now, his kids had seen me do some, like, there was like a 3-minute clip of some sketch I'd done where I was just kind of being silly. So they'd seen the clip, but they'd never seen the stand-up. It's very different. And the guy goes, they're going to love you. It's going to be great. Come out. It's going to be fantastic. I'm like, I don't really do bar mitzvah. He's like, come. I go, okay, fine. I'll come. So I go there, and I go, listen, no dance floor, please. He's like, no, we need a dance floor. We got to dance afterwards. I'm like, oh, God. I go, okay. I go, can you guys put seats on the dance floor? He's like, you know what, dude? We'll have the kids come and sit at the dance floor. That way they'll fill it up. I go, okay, that's brilliant. I forgot, when he says kids, it's not just 13-year-old kids. There's 3-year-olds in the front.
Toddlers.
Literally, toddlers looking at me like, why is this man talking into a microphone, and can I get the mic to talk into it too? Like, they don't care about my act. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, what jokes do I do that a 3-year-old's going to get? And then I go, and then I look out, and there's grandma, like 90-year-old lady with mink coats. And I'm like, I'm dying. And it, like what you said, the guy hired me to do 20 minutes. I'm not kidding, Mark. I did an hour because I was looking. I was going into old material, going, there's got to be some joke that's going to work for the 90-year-old and the 3-year-old. There's got to be. I kept going and going.
Oh, this is heartbreaking.
Knock, knock.
Everything I could think. I was like, if there's any time to steal someone's jokes, now is the time.
Right.
Who's got a joke that works for a 3-year-old and a 90? I'm going through my head. I'm like, I can't find a joke that works for a 3-year-old.
So are you already planning Sweet 16s and quinceañeras?
I'm planning getting on the phone with my agent and manager going, never again, no more. You know, and it was funny because the whole time I was just like, okay, what I'm going to do is after this, I'm just going to go have my glass of tequila and relax. And I went to the bar and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, it couldn't have been that bad. And then I run into some guy I knew who was there. He's like, hey, man, how you doing? And I was like, good. And I'm waiting for him to be like, that was pretty good. He didn't say anything. He just, he was like, what are you drinking? What are you drinking?
Like, you know, you mentioned bar mitzvah. When I was coming up in radio, you don't make any money. You really, really can barely pay the bills. And so I would do dances on the weekend. And I got hired. This guy calls me up for a bar mitzvah, and he's going to pay me twice what I normally get. And I didn't ask the right questions. And by the way, as a result of this that I'm about to share, I changed the way I did business. So I go, and I found out once I arrived that there were adults at the bar mitzvah and there were the kids. I had been hired to entertain the children. So I set up the speakers. I'm thinking, I don't care. I'm getting double what I get, so I'll do it. And so I'm playing the songs, and I, you know, did a couple of things, and the kids had turned their back on me. I was okay,
hilarious.
But I keep thinking, oh, I'm getting double my money. So the evening
Elvis didn't go over with the kids.
So I get to the end of the night, the guy comes over and he's staring at me, and he's drunk as he can be.
Ugh.
And he hands me half the money. Mm. And I said, we agreed on. And he goes, the kids said you weren't funny. And he turned his back and left. After that, I had a little contract drawn up, and I said, you're going to send me a check for half of it to secure it, and then when I've arrived and set up the equipment, you give me the rest of the money in cash.
Smart yeah. man.
I yeah. never got screwed. All you have to do is get screwed one time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you don't go back again.
And they do. You know, they take advantage a lot of times, and it's what you said. Like, what are you going to do when you show up? You know, afterwards,
right.
you can't.
Right.
Although I did have one time I did a show where this was when we were doing the Access to Evil comedy tour. And these guys, I guess, you know, people see you do a show and they see the place is packed and they go, oh, we can do this and make a ton of money.
Right.
But really, if you do the math a lot of times, you're like, you're going to break even, you know.
Right.
So these guys hired us to do a show, and this was Access to Evil. So it was me, Ahmed Ahmed, and Aaron Cater. At the time, last minute, Ahmed Ahmed got that movie Don't Mess with the Zohan. He had to go film.
Oh, right. So Adam Sandler.
Yeah, so he couldn't make it. But I called the guy up, the promoter, and I was like, these guys were some like Afghan kids out of Fremont, because that's where the biggest Afghan community in America is. Fremont.
Who knew?
California?
Fremont, California.
Really?
Yeah, so they hired us, and they're like, listen, come on up, do it. And I go, listen, I know the tickets are selling. This is great. I go, Ahmed can't make it, but I'm going to get someone else to cover. They go, no problem. Come on up. We go up, and again, the place is packed. But I'm doing the math, and I'm going, these guys aren't making any money tonight. I don't know what they thought. Maybe they were going to make money on drinks or something.
Right.
So then after the show, I've never had this before, the guy's like, can I talk to you for a second? I go, sure. Takes me into this office, and these guys were young guys who were, like, driving Bentleys. So I knew something wasn't right from the start. Like, and then I go in, and there's the guy with his, like, mother and father, grandmother in the corner.
Oh, no.
Just kind of looking. I felt like I just walked into Vito Corleone's. Yeah. It felt like I was at the Godfather house. And he's like, listen, you know, Ahmed was supposed to be, he didn't show up. And so we'd like to pay you a little bit less. And I'm kind of looking. When grandma's in the room and they're muscling you a little
right.
bit, you go, oh, okay.
That's what this is.
Okay. I go, no, that makes sense. And I'm the whole time, I'm like, I'm going to tell Ahmed. I'm going to be like, dude, you know, you didn't show up. And they were ready. Grandma was in the room. You know, what do you want me to do? You know? And that was the one time when I agreed to like be like, pay me less. That's fine.
And forget my address.
Yeah.
Let's go to Paulette. Paulette, say good morning to Maz.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back, Mark.
Thank you.
First of all, I just want to say it was so great meeting you all at the food truck last week. It really helped us as listeners get reconnected and meet the new family, so that was awesome. Thank you for
awesome.
That.
Thank you for coming down.
Maz, salam shatori.
Hey, how are you? Speak Farsi, huh?
No, that's all I got. I'm a white girl.
Well, Paulette, that's the key. That's all. I've always said, if there's only a few words you know in any language, you throw it out, and then the person goes, oh, you speak. And then after that, don't say no. Just be like, yes, I do, but let's just speak English. Let's just
for everybody else, or else it's rude.
Exactly. Yes. I do that with my Spanish. You know, I just, todo bien. I mean, everything good? Everything good.
All good.
And then after that, we speak English. That's it. And then people think you're Spanish.
And Paulette,
why I'm calling. I need your advice, because I do marketing for a nursing home not far from Calabasas, and so a good majority of my doctors are Persian, and a very high percentage of my patients and their families are Persian, and in fact, they've kind of taken over. They heard about our great care, and they've taken over an entire hallway we call Little Tehran, And I just was, the first time I heard you do your show, I thought maybe this guy could give me some kind of advice on how to deal with these people with a little more sense of humor.
Hilarious. What are they? What are they trying to do? Is it the people or the patients or is it their family?
The families that are demanding they want us to put in the Persian satellite TV and have a belly cancer for the Persian New Year.
Colette, please, you put television, you put maybe Colette, maybe you let my cousin sleep here too, Colette.
Exactly.
Give them an inch, they're gonna take a mile.
Exactly.
You know, Paula, you gotta smile, and you know what you should do? Use the words "my friend" a lot.
Oh yeah.
If you go back with "my friend," smile. If they go, "Paulette, maybe you put in the satellite," you gotta go, "my friend, that costs a lot of money."
Okay. Just listen,
with Persians, you're not talking to us; you're negotiating with us. We don't talk. It's all a negotiation.
But always with a smile, right?
Always with a smile.
Oh, I can't do that. Come on, you're freaking me here, my friend.
You know, if they say good morning, maybe it's a good morning. I'm not sure. What are we gonna make? Maybe we should. I don't know, my friend.
Paulette, thank you for the call.
Thank you, guys. Is my friend the equivalent
to the Southern "bless his heart"?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I think my friend is just like it's Persians use it, a lot of Arabs use it, and it's just kind of like and if you do it with that smile, I've seen it so much in negotiations. People are like they're going like, "Don't screw me." Like, so right. If you go like, I'll give you 50, my friend.
Come on.
You know. Like, yeah.
Well, Maz has, if you want to see him right away, he's got a show tonight at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Next Tuesday, he's at the Irvine Improv. I hear that's a pretty good room.
Yeah, it's great. The new Irvine Improv is great.
Saturday, February 21st. This is probably a sellout, but he's going to be at the Wiltern, and that's where you're filming your special, right?
I'm
going to
be filming my special, and this is all for my book that's coming out. I got a book that comes out next Tuesday. So the tour starts in Irvine, and then it goes to San Jose, San Francisco, and then back down to L.A. at the Wiltern. The book's called "I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One on TV."
Oh, please tell him about the billboard.
I got to tell you about the billboard. So you were saying tonight I'm actually at the Comedy Store and Laugh Factory because I'm working out my material. I'm doing 15 to 20 minutes at these clubs to get ready for my full hour next Saturday, and I'm going to be doing the full hour at the Irvine Improv. But Jamie Masada, who I love at the Laugh Factory, he said, "Listen, I'll put your billboard of your book on top of the club. So if you're driving down Sunset Boulevard and you look up, it's got the title, 'I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One on TV,' with my picture on it." But the problem is the title is so long that what you see is my picture, and it says Maz Jobrani. On one side, it says Maz Jobrani, Terrorist. And the rest is on the other side. It's like a breaking news, you know. Oh, man.
So, listen, Maz, we're going to work it out where we can pop you back in on the phone next Tuesday so you can give a shout-out to your book, because we were having fun talking, didn't get a chance to plug that too much.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I love coming out. This is fun. I could do this all day with you guys.
Well, Maz Jobrani, you again have made the mistake of coming in here and bonding with everybody. So, as I said, whenever we call, you will drop what you're doing and you will come.
Done.
You're good
deal.
To go with that, right?
Yeah, I'm going to tell my wife that's how this is working.
Maz, it was fantastic hanging out. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Thanks a lot, guys.
Lots of fun.
There is more Mark in the Morning to come. This is 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. We are standing here staring at each other. Uncle Joe is with us.
Are you wearing pants? What's the deal?
That's a good question, Uncle Joe. What are your plans for the 10 at 10?
1984. We had the Olympics. We had no traffic and a lot of really good music coming up that way.
Well, sounds good. And I think we'll all plan to tune in. Plus, tomorrow... it's not only is it the day before Valentine's Day, it is Friday the 13th.
All right.
So we're going to have one of the most celebrated actors who've played Jason, Kane Hodder, on the phone. Friday the 13th, fun facts. And since it's the day before Valentine's, we're going to speak with disgraced newscaster Brian Williams about his Valentine's plans.
What a get.
Yes,
a big get on this show.
That's this very show right here.
All right.